taking some time over the last couple of weeks and kind of talking about how do we deal with each other? How do we get along with each other? And we're going to kind of continue with that this morning. You know, how do we deal with the people that you're sitting beside now? Don't look too hard. I see eye rolls. I see head shaking. No. I see somebody going like this. No, don't do that. How do we deal with each other, with all of the tensions that we have in the world? Political tensions. You can't turn on the TV without seeing something. I mean, we're in the midst of it. Racial tensions. You can't turn on the TV without seeing something. Family tension, tensions within the home, tensions with parents to children and children to parents and siblings amongst each other. There's tension. People are sometimes having a hard time getting along with each other, and yet we know that we are called by God to love one another. So how do we get along? How do we deal with each other? And one of the ways we've talked about is being able to love one another. And one of the ways we express love to one another is by comforting one another. And this is what we talked about a little bit last week. Being a comforter and being comforted. And to know and to believe that the Word teaches us the truth. And in truth it says that God is the God of what? All comfort. Not some. Not most. But all comfort. I mean, I don't think that there's a situation that you will face that you will be in prayer about and you sense His presence come and God whispers, "Oh, you are in trouble. I'm out." It's not going to happen. He is the God of all comfort. God will comfort you no matter what the affliction is, no matter what the situation or the circumstance that you are in, that you are facing. God will comfort you. And it means that His Spirit comes alongside of you and helps you. But one of the things that you and I have to do in the midst of our situation, in the midst of our struggles, is we have to develop a God focus in our pain. Because if all I look at is the pain, I will be consumed. But if in the midst of my struggle, if I say, "God, I'm going to keep my eyes on You. May You receive glory in this. May You, oh God, receive honor in the way that I walk through this." God is going to get you through. God never promises that we won't walk through the fire. He says we won't be consumed by it. God never says the waters don't rise. God says they will not overwhelm you. I am with you, and in your pain, I am still God. We can stand in that this morning. And with a God focus, we are going to be able to navigate things differently. Because when I focus on the situation, it just can become very consuming. It's what you think about. It's what you dream about. You ever dream about your problems? You think about them all day. You deal with them all day. You go to bed at night. No. You know, wake up in the cold sweat trying to figure it out. It can be very consuming. But with a God focus, I can walk in a way that God receives the glory and that people can see Christ in me so that people can say, "Hey, listen, how in the world did you get through what you went through and you had the presence of God on you? You just seemed like you always had it together and you were in peace." And it's like, well, looks are deceiving sometimes. I may look like I have it all together, but there's days I was holding on to grace. But God got me through because He is the God of all comfort. And when we go through pain, and we do, if anyone ever, you're a Christian, you should never go through pain. Punch them right slap in the face because they're lying straight to you. Listen, in this world you will have trouble. But when we go through the pain, you can trust and know that God will never waste it. God will never waste your pain. God will honor your pain, and God will use it. And part of the way that I sometimes sense that when I've been through a struggle time, that I sense God using it is when I'm able to use it to help somebody else. Sometimes that's the first time I get to see God in my pain. So when it comes to comforting us, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and comforts us, but most of the time when God desires to comfort His people, He uses other followers of Christ. He uses people just like you and just like me to come alongside of someone who's struggling and help them and encourage them to keep them going, to press on, to not give up. People who have been through what you're going through come alongside and say, "I remember. It's one of the hardest things. It's a painful thing. It's tough when you're trying to live right and your kids are acting crazy and you're praying for your kids. Or when you're at work and at work, you just hate the job you're in, but you got to stick in it because you got things you got to provide for. And I know I've been there. Trust God. God will get you through. And when they do, it comforts you, doesn't it? You're not alone. You're not isolated. You're not the only one who's in struggle. They've been in it. And you know what helps me when I'm sharing with someone to remind myself, man, God is good. God is faithful. God did get me through this. It was painful. I don't ever want to go back. But I'm telling you, you can come out of it. And God will get you through. You see, we need each other in this journey, and it can never be just about us. God comforts us so that we can be comforters. And I said earlier that my pain makes more sense when I begin to use it to comfort others. It's in that moment that I often see God in it. Because our relationship with each other matters. The way we handle each other, the way we speak to each other, the way that we care about each other. It matters because our relationship with each other impacts our relationship with God. Amen? You with me? Don't go stone quiet on me now. So we've talked about loving one another. We've talked about comforting one another. This morning, I'm going to take a few minutes, and we're going to talk about being connected. We're going to talk about being connected to each other. And it's an amazing, this is a big deal to God. Being connected, and that's why he describes the church as a body with different parts that are all connected together to accomplish his purpose. And look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to be connected, not isolated. You see, we can't do this thing alone the way God wants it done. Now, you might be able to do things alone, but I'm telling you, we can't do things alone the way God wants them done because God desires his body to be connected. And connections seem a lot easier today. We've got social media that has allowed us to feel more connected. You know, my kids, I tell them when my wife and I were in college and we were just up at Valley Forge dropping my daughter off, and when we were up there, we're kind of laughing and telling stories. And I mean, I remember, you know, before the internet, you know, and I tell my kids that, they're like, Dad, did you have to outrun dinosaurs and stuff to get to school? And like, it was that long ago. I mean, we wrote letters. We wrote letters, man. I'm 20 whatever years old. How old was I in college? 18, 19? When 17? I don't know. It's all a blur. I just know I have four kids, and I'm not really sure what happened. I feel like I just woke up. But we did. You know, she had a semester. She was back up in Buffalo, and I was going to school full time. I was playing baseball, and I was working 3 days a week to pay for my way through school. And money was tight, and I can remember knowing I could afford one phone call a week for about 20 minutes. Because that was back when you paid for long distance. Y'all remember that? So I'm like, hello, baby, how are you doing? I miss you so much. And you wrote it all out because you had a lot of information you had to get out pretty quickly. And now you can text and you can tweet and you can Snapchat and you can Facebook and you can Periscope and you can Instagram. And you have all of this social media that is so much easier to stay connected or to feel connected. And all day long, it just goes and goes and goes. I mean, we are so addicted to our phones. We'd rather leave a child somewhere than our phone. Some of you already this morning during worship, you've already Facebooked something. You've already Snapchat something for Sunday school class. Somebody's up there teaching, like, hey, what's it? You know, and we do that. I mean, we take selfies, and it's just, we are a social media driven people. And even during the message, somebody's going to Facebook something. We do it all the time. We do it because it feels like we are connecting, like we're linking with other people. And I've shared this. While I think social media is great and amazing because I can shoot a text to my daughter in Pennsylvania and she can get it and respond if I have a question, even in the office. There's times I'd rather text somebody than call them. Because text gets the info, I get the answer, and I'm moving. So, hey, how are you? It doesn't matter. Just ask me the question. What do you want? You know, it just... You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Is so much of social media, I feel like it's such a false community. That it's not genuine and it's not real. And people follow people and all you see is the highlights of their life. And you see what they want you to see. You don't know them, but you know what their feet look like at the beach. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, there's always, you always tell someone, I'm like, you know, right? And it's like, oh, their feet. Praise God. But it makes you feel connected, and that we find that valuable because we want to feel connected. We want to feel knit together. We want to feel linked with each other, to be known and to be loved. And the thing is this, this idea, this desire isn't a 21st century thing. God started this. God did this way back. This is what God had in mind when he describes in details in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body, that he talks about the church. The comprehensive statement in the New Testament on the importance of connecting with each other. Because we honor God when we are connected. The Apostle Paul gives us a whole chapter to the importance of connecting. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, he says this, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." See, when God wanted to discuss with us being connected, he uses something that all of us can identify with. He uses the body, and the body does what the head tells it to do. Well, that's how mine works. I don't know about yours. Yeah, well, when my head says do, my body does. My head says walk, my body walks. When my head says clap, my body claps. When my wife says take out the trash, my head says that's why you had children. And I yell to Chase, and Chase takes out the trash. But my body is responsive to my brain. See, the body listens to the head, and if it doesn't, you need to see a doctor because it's supposed to work like that. And Scripture tells us that who's the head of the church? Christ. Jesus is the head of the church, and then he calls the church his body. So the job of Jesus' body, the church, is to be obedient and to reflect the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ himself. So we as the body, whole and individual members of it, are to honor Christ and what he desires to be done in us and through us. So the body carries out the desires of the head by using its body parts or its members. And this chapter breaks down the concept of body and of members. See, the word body in chapter 12 is used in the translation like 19 different times. The word body is used. And you're going to see it in connection to the word member. So when he speaks of the body, he's speaking of the whole frame. When he's talking about members, he's talking about the individual parts that form the body that are to be obedient to whatever the head tells them to do. You understand what I'm saying? You all with me? So Jesus, the head, speaks to the body, the whole, what he desires to be done, and it is done by the individual members in obedience. Head, body, and then all of us in obedience. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, head, body, all of us in obedience. That's how this works. And this is where we get the concept of membership, or when people talk about joining a church. That's where all of that comes from, the dynamic of connecting, tapping in, becoming part of, functioning part of the body. And you see it in this chapter because when he's talking about members, he's talking about this, a particular people having a particular attachment to a particular body for a particular purpose. Do I need to say that again? A particular people having a particular attachment to a particular body for a particular purpose. So you as an individual come and are part of the church body using your gifts and serving so that we as the whole body can carry out what is mandated by God and his purpose. God says, I desire people to be saved. So our whole body responds, each of us individually responding in wholeness. And that's the way health works. That's the way the body is to function. So when he talks about members, I became a member of a local church. He's talking about this, identified and functional. When I'm a member of the body, I'm identifiable and I am a functionally involved with the local body of believers who are learning to live together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we're all here as individuals, working together, learning to love each other, comfort each other, encourage each other, bless one another while we are following Christ. That's what it is. So when you became a member of First Assembly, or when you want to become a member of First Assembly, what you're saying is, I choose to identify and be functionally involved with this body of believers who are learning to live together underneath the Lordship of Christ. And that's what it means to be a member, not sit soaking sour, not come to church, you know, once a month maybe, not show up and have an unofficial parking spot and an unofficial spot on a pew that's yours. That's not member. To be functionally involved with a group of Christians and learning together to live under the headship of Christ. So what he's wanting you to understand is this: you can only maximize your relationship to God with your attachment to each other. That's a different pill there, isn't it? I just want Jesus. Rest of them are crazy, God. Well, you can't fully be with me until you learn to be with each other. Well, God, I don't like it. Well, that's tough. See, when we're detached from the body, there's a breakdown. When we're detached from the body, there's a breakdown in the flow of God's life for me. If I this morning, and I'm not trying to be gross or anything, but if I cut off my hand, put my hand on this, what is it, stool. It was working there. One, that'd be gross. But the fact that my hand is close to me really is meaningless because I benefit nothing from it. Right? In fact, we both lose. I lose the benefit of having a hand, and the hand loses the benefit of having the rest of me. And so that God says, you've got to be connected. I'm going to be limited in my body if my hand is disconnected. And the same is true of you. If we are not connected, if we are not involved in a functional part of, we're in the proximity of, but you don't get the full benefit of. We've got to be connected to have the full benefit. Just being in the vicinity of Jesus doesn't mean that you're benefiting from Jesus if you're living disconnected. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all hold on. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Spirit is like blood flowing through the body. It transfers God's life to the different parts of the body. So the Holy Spirit comes where two or three are gathered. He's in the midst of them. The presence of God comes and it knits our hearts. And that's why we can come in with such different backgrounds, such different experiences, different, you know, places that we all come from all over the world. And we can come into this place and have one common goal and one common purpose, one common presence of God that we get into. And while we're all different, we're all the same. And it's beautiful. And I want you to know, not every church experiences what we experience here. You need to know that, all right? But if the hand is cut off, it doesn't get the flow of life. It doesn't. God moves through connection. Not just vertical connection to Him, God draw me near, but connection with each other. We are the body of Christ that has to function together. So like a parent who has multiple kids in the home, if one of your kids just decides it doesn't want to have relationship with any of the other kids, does it just break down relationship with the children? No, it breaks down relationship with the father and the mother and everybody. It creates tension. It creates a struggle. God wants us connected to Him and to each other, a functioning part of a body of Christians who are learning to live together under the Lordship of Christ. That's what He desires us to be, so that we can have the benefit of this relationship with Jesus, but also the benefit of a horizontal relationship with each other. Because there's times I'm going to be a blessing to you, and there's times that you're going to be a blessing to me, and it's amazing that when we're doing that, God says, you guys are a blessing to me, and God blesses back. It's a beautiful thing to see when it functions, so that the fullness of God can be experienced in all of the parts of the body. So joining a church is more than just having your name on a list and being able to vote at a meeting, but it's becoming a member of a functioning body. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. So here's the thing. First Assembly of God is made up of all these different body parts, and all these different body parts are connected to each other as we seek to connect with Christ. That's who we are. So that the body can have and experience the full expression of God's life is being realized in each and every one of us. That's the purpose of the church. But if you're detached, if you're wanting the benefits of the body without the attachment, it doesn't work fully. See, God desires connectivity, not just being in the same environment. God says, don't just be here, be one of us. Don't just sit here in the press. Come in and be a part of the body. Be involved. Be functioning to fully experience who I am. Because if you're not connected, you can't fully experience me. Is that okay? Because y'all are quiet today. I don't know if y'all just staying up too late watching the Olympics, or you had yard work yesterday and you're just tired, or what. But I'll come get you. And then he goes deeper. He takes it even further. 1 Corinthians 12, 15, 16. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, then that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye and I do not belong to the body, that would make it not any less part of the body. Here he says, if a body part says, I don't want to be part of the body, you've created a problem for both of us. Because if I have an eye that I can't look through, first the eye has a problem. But secondly, the rest of the body has a problem because it's now limited in the way that it sees. Each person is valuable. Each person is important. The eye is hooked up, but it won't work. It's taking up space, but it's not being beneficial to the body the way that God designed it to do, because it won't fulfill its role in the body of Christ. Everybody can do something for Christ. Everybody. No one is too big and no one is too little to do something for the kingdom. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Here's the thing. It's not all about you. We want it to be. We'd like it to be. We look at things and we determine whether we like it or don't like it on how it benefits us. And you see, I don't really do that. Seriously, you get in a group of people and you take a picture and someone says, oh, look, what do? You look at you. And if you look good in the picture, you like the picture. And if you don't look good in the picture, I mean, if you're there, we got one eye closed, and you're like, oh, that's a horrible picture. Let's take another one. You know, we make it about us a whole lot. A whole lot. So let's just say you're the eye. Praise God, you're the eye. But the eye is just a piece of the body. It's important. It's valuable. But it's part of a whole. Romans 12, 3, for the grace given to me, I say to everyone not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's what he says. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. See, it's not all about you. You're the piece of something bigger. You are critical. You're important. You're a needed piece, a valuable piece. But if it were all about you, the eye, there's a lot of things that the body could do and should do, but it wouldn't be able to do because it's all about you. Listen, I wouldn't want to be a part of an organization that was only as big as I was. I want to be a part of something that's bigger than me. I want to be a part of something that's going to outlast my life and leave a legacy of value. You want the eye to be the definition of the body, but if you're the eye and the definition of the body is the eye, then who's going to hear and who's going to speak and who's going to walk? And if you're an ear, then who's going to see? Do you see what I'm saying? He uses a physical body to lay out a spiritual principle of membership. And what he's saying is this: your connection is critical. Your connection is critical. It takes all of the members of the body to make the body work. All of us together. All of us serving. All of us loving one another, comforting one another, and connecting with one another. It's important. So if you're here and you desire to be connected to God but not really connected to the body, don't be surprised if in your life and in your spiritual walk you find some struggle because you were never created to function alone. You just weren't. You weren't made that way. And not only is the body less healthy that way if you're not connected, but you're less healthy that way. Because it doesn't function like that. The purpose of the church is not just sermons and songs, but to be a place that we all connect with God and we all connect with each other. And Scripture says that believers that think they don't need to be or be connected to the family of God deceive themselves. Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks that there's something when they are not, they deceive themselves. That's what Scripture says. I'm fine. I'm on my own. No. No, you're really not. I'm a foot. I can walk anywhere I want to. Maybe hop. But not healthy. Not the way God designed it. You see, our unity with Christ is critical for the purposes of God in our lives. And if we are someone who can invest in the well-being of other Christians, we limit what God does in us. It's not all about you. You're not an only child. Only children. Is that an only child? Only children tend to be spoiled, don't they? They tend to get everything they want. Or old first kids are spoiled rotten. Terrible. What's the first child? Middle kids are overlooked. We were left to fend for ourselves. Yeah. My parents send me Father's Day cards because I practically raised a whole home. No. That's not true. I'm just glad they get my name right. You know, the thing is, an only child tends to be spoiled. But when there's other brothers and sisters, you have to learn how to what? Share. So is the family of God. We're not only kids. We have to learn how to share with one another, love one another. God says, I've got a family, and you're a critical part to the family, but you're only one part in the family, so you need to be connected with each other so the house can be healthy and the home can be in harmony and the home can function in the way that God designed it to function so that we can be what God has called us to be. And it starts with real connection. We've got to be connected to the family to get the full manifestation of God in our life and in the church. We've got to have that connection for the benefit of my life to you and the benefit of your life to me. Because you're going to bless me and I'm going to bless you. That's how it works in health. 1 Corinthians 12:22 and 23. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor and our parts treated with the greater modesty. Here's the thing. Everyone is important, but not only seemingly most important. Here's what he's saying. Everyone you see on the front is great and good, but sometimes the most important are the people you never see. It's the people in the background. Think about this. If it wasn't for what's inside of you that we can't see, the outside of you would not be functioning very well. That's what he's saying. Everybody matters. Everybody is important. Not one of you is insignificant this morning. Every member of the body should be seen as valuable. Now, we all have different levels of responsibility. We don't all have the same job descriptions, but each and every one of us matters to the body of Christ and matters to God. And we should never look down on a person because they're different than we are or not as visible as we are. Think about it. It's the invisible parts that make the visible parts work. That's why Scripture says, and Jesus says, how you treat the least of these. So you've done it as what? As unto me. God says, honor people. Love people. Value people. There are no insignificant members. And we may all be different in our gifting, but we are all significant to the body of Christ because every member of the body matters. You ever been... You know, I don't know, sometimes in the morning or what, you walk through the house. You ever caught your toe on a corner of something? It's, even your pinky toe, just a little one. I don't know why. It's it's this long. It's so tiny. But man, it'll make you holler. It'll light you up, won't it? Man, you're praying out loud. Ah, sweet Jesus, help me, Lord. You know, and just walking around the house. It don't matter. Your tongue's such a little part of your body, seemingly so insignificant. But oh, what a fire it can start. In it are the words of life and death. There is no part of the body, seemingly big or seemingly small, that is insignificant or not important to the body of Christ. When we become connected to the body of Christ, where everybody matters and everyone is significant for the working of the body under the headship of Jesus, then you're having church. That's what God designed. That's what God talked about. James 2 tells the story. He says, man, there were people coming to church, and you know what? The rich men, they ushered in, they put on the front row because they'll give the most. Poor were coming in, and they said, you can go stand over here, or you can sit way in the back. You know what James says? That's evil. James says, that's sin. Everybody matters. Everybody is significant. No one should ever look down on another brother or sister because of class or culture or race or any reason. If they are sinning, then you address them in love as a brother or sister in Christ. That's different. But they are a significant part of the body of Christ, and you might be rejecting something that God desires to use to bring a blessing into your life. Everybody matters in the body of Christ. Listen, we are stronger together than we are apart. James 1 talks about this. We even sang it. I love it. The last two or three weeks, there have been songs that have been directly, and I don't talk to her about what I'm going to be talking about. He talks about orphans and widows, and what he's talking about there is connect with someone who can do nothing for you. Just love them. Not deal make, just love. Connect. Bless. Encourage, lift up. Well, I can't do it. It doesn't matter. I didn't do it for that. That's what James is talking about. That God says, listen, if you want to connect with me, if you want more of me, connect with each other, and I'll give you my fullness. Because if I have a follower of Christ, if you tend to be the Lone Ranger Christian, don't be surprised if your walk feels limited, because it will be if you are not connected to the body. And my heart is for everyone to be connected to the body the way God calls us to be, or like they said in Acts when it says they had come together, they were all in one accord, and where they were gathered shook. Don't you want a service like that? I want God just to come and shake us. Do you know why Satan wants disunity? Because disunity keeps God out of the moment. That's what happens. Disunity keeps God out of the moment. Do you know why the enemy wants you and your spouse fussing and fighting all the time? People say, oh, well, you know, man, do y'all argue? No, not really. You know, little tiff here or there. But, you know, little tiffs all the time. Just bickering. Sometimes just bick over the stupidest stuff. But it's not about the stuff. It's about winning. Because he wants to bring disunity into that relationship. He wants to bring a breakdown into what God has put together. Let no man take apart. The enemy wants to bring disunity because it keeps God from answering prayers. Look at this, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Wow. The enemy wants to break unity to keep God out of the equation. And the truth is, God will do the same thing with his church. If there's dynamics with pastors to elders, deacons, or deacons with the pastor, or deacons with department heads with members, or members with members, or gossip, things that function and create and build disunity, it creates confusion, and it can keep God out of the equation. Revival is never going to come because the right person gets in the White House. Revival will come because the church gets in unity with its people, with each other, and with God. That is when revival comes. And the thing is, every member is critical and should be treated like they are. Our greatest resource is not our property. Our greatest resource is not, you know, an account. Our greatest resource is you. You are the most valuable thing here. Jesus didn't die for money. Jesus didn't die for buildings. Jesus died for you. And it should be treated as such. You are valued by God today. 1 Corinthians 12:25 and 26. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I love that. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The goal, the purpose of all of this, I love this, is equal concern for each other. It's that we should care for one another. One another is so important because one person can't care for everybody. I want to say that again. We can care about everyone. We can't care for everyone. That's why the one another is so critical. Because if I'm caring for you and you're caring for them and they're caring for them and they're caring for me and then I'm going to go care for him, see, we got each other. It's not all on one person. It's on all of us to love, to comfort, to connect. Because each and every one of you is valuable in the eyes of God. You are part of the body of Christ that we need to function together under the headship of Jesus. And let's see people saved. Amen.